A very good afternoon and welcome back to The Property Show. Ludmila Yamalova and Mike Small are with us, regular contributors, and our guests this afternoon are Richard Bradstock, senior consultant with IP Global, and also Chris Allen, who is a mortgage consultant with IP Global. Good afternoon, gentlemen, to you both again. Now, we're just getting to grips with the report that was just recently issued with IP Global, which is the Olympic edition. It's a property barometer, and basically looking at the cities around the world that have hosted the Olympics and seeing what kind of effect that can possibly have on their real estate markets. And you've actually given hotspots, you've given medals such as gold, silver and bronze. Now, London has received a gold. But, I mean, is it really, I mean, is it sort of definitely related to the Olympics, or are you just looking at it as a city in general? I mean, what's the Olympic connection there?
Purely, really, as far as this is concerned, it's just a bit of fun considering the Olympics is coming up in a month's time.
So it's a bit of a gimmick then. There's nothing really related.
Yeah, I mean,
to it.
it's London is, as we've been talking about, it is one of our favourite markets right now, and so it's just an opportunity to, display why we think so.
But do you don't think the Olympics is having any impact at all on the property market?
Not an impact that we would think from an investment perspective is worth buying into.
Yeah, as you mentioned earlier, yeah, they're various different areas. Yeah. That
I agree with that.
Developed.
I think some people didn't they, about 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, when it was announced.
Well, because they were also buying up properties around the stadiums, which I understand people were offered quite good prices for their properties.
This is one of the reasons why, you know, we're not, because back in, was it 2005 when it was announced?
I can't remember, to be honest. No,
it's a while ago. but prices rose sort of almost artificially overnight just because of this announcement. And, you know, and I suppose if people got in just before that and get out now, we're fine. But for us now, it's a market that, you know, because it's very conscious in people's minds, and generally when a market is in that stage, you don't want to, you know, or a segment of the market.
If it's too visible, then it's too late.
Yeah, exactly.
Is the normal way to look
absolutely
at it.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, let's move away from London now and take a look at some of the other cities, such as Beijing. Beijing, what medal did that get?
Well, we've given it a silver medal. Obviously, we're dealing here with countries that have hosted the Games in the recent past, Tokyo being the exception. We're not investing in Beijing right now. We do think, again, it's another place which has received a lot of, a little bit like you just said, people have been talking about, buy in China, because of the boom. But there are some issues there too. Obviously, they restricted the mortgage conditions heavily at the beginning of last year. However, prices this year have started to come back again.
It's only the last month, which is one of eight, where they claim that there's a little rise. But I was reading the Gulf News this morning, and page 2, in fact, has got a nice précis of it, because it talks about what the Premier has just announced.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it's very good for the Gulf News. I normally take the business, but the Gulf News is very good today, and it's got a good article on there, because China, I think, is exceptional in this world. It has looked and it has realised just how much chaos property bubbles have caused and how much speculation in property has caused. And so it's actually stopped it before it gets too far.
I would say Malaysia is a case in point.
Is Malaysia
there
as well?
Well, before it's even boomed, they've put measures to restrict. For example, which is something that perhaps Dubai could well have done, that you cannot sell your property. You have to complete on it before selling on it.
Yeah, and I think that's a fantastic idea.
Imagine if they'd done that here.
Yeah. here was very unique. It was, 03. It was before the boom was really recognised globally, I think, 04, 05. And I think we had, and we didn't have any law. We didn't have a lot of things here, but I think we're catching up. And I think it's getting there. But I think some of these other countries now are recognising just what the West has done to itself. It's shot itself in both feet. And it doesn't seem to understand the damage that it's caused itself through having a property explosion. And I thought the Chinese are being very clever, because they have. But one thing I saw, and just to show how much detail you sometimes need to go into, Siobhan, it's quite amazing. I saw that copper was starting to be bought again in China. So I thought, all right, OK, they're starting to build again because they need the copper. No. What they're doing is the people who need copper to build, the developers, are buying copper on credit, 3 months, and then they're using that as collateral to get a loan because they're so instruct with their bank that they can't get any money. So what they're doing is they're raising cash by buying copper in and holding it in a warehouse and getting a loan against that from the Chinese banks. So you've got another disaster coming. So again, 3 months, 4 months down the road, everyone will run out of money and they've got to pay for the copper that no one wants. So, you know, it's just incredible how in this modern world, financiers have turned everything upside down and made it almost, I mean, it's not a game, because this is affecting everyone's lives.
And is any, were you investing in Beijing at all?
No, we're not. I mean, we have an office in Shanghai, but that again is taking money out of China into various other parts of the world, as discussed.
Mm.
No, I mean, this is obviously being Olympic focused. We're dealing with Olympic cities. The fact of the matter is, I mean, the one city that's missing on here in the recent past, Sydney, of course.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about all the other countries.
You know, Sydney would probably be verging on a disqualified right now.
Why?
Again, it's about, if you look at sort of incomes and so on, it's about the most expensive city in the world.
It's the highest in the world, yeah. But looking forward, it would be disqualified, but it's probably done quite well since the Olympics.
Yes, it has. Yeah. And so actually there's a... potentially a case in point against the argument that, you know, Olympics are necessarily a bad thing.
So you're saying what, Sydney's one of the most expensive cities in the world to live in?
But obviously the Olympics in 2000, and the last, up until beginning of last year, Sydney has performed excellently from a real estate perspective.
I think Sydney's unique in that there's a lot of population growth. In other words, it's a new country and they're
but
still
actually, Australia as a whole has done very
absolutely.
Well up until the beginning. You know, all the cities in Australia. I mean, sort of Brisbane went first and the Gold Coast went first.
Yes, it did.
I
think we'll see the West go as this commodity boom in China starts to unwind. Yeah, then we could see the West go, and that's Perth.
But are you saying then that Australia's sort of gone past its peak again as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Australian property market appreciated for 19 years straight, and so I think now is the time to get in. Sydney is a supply and demand story again, but unfortunately it's too expensive and the Aussie dollar's high.
Where is a good place to invest then?
Well, as I say,
$1 million question.
As I say, I mean, we're obviously very keen on London. And Malaysia and New York and newly San Francisco.
Right.
And how does Dubai or the UAE step up?
It's too high risk for us. You know, there's
even some projects such as, for example, on the Palm
that are already built.
Khalifa,
I mean, you know,
sort of the downtown area.
That's not the market we're in, though.
So you're always on off plan.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, not always. We do occasionally deal with a completed building. But I think the thing with the UAE, you don't have the legislation behind it yet to really, from a foreign investment perspective, you know, at one stage you're getting visas, now you're not. You know, from a foreign investment perspective, you need that comfort, which markets like New York, London, and, you know, and KL, they actually... afford you that level of comfort, so your money is, you can feel your money's safe.
They give you more legal comfort, but none of them give you visas, do they?
Well, yeah.
No, true. But the visa, sorry, I mean, I said visa. Yeah, the visa's isn't the big thing. I mean, but the fact of the matter here is a lot of people did buy property here for visas from various Middle Eastern markets.
So. We had a question come from one of our listeners. Maybe you can answer this for them. I'm looking to invest around $1 million US in real estate in the US. What would you say should be my three most critical considerations? My objective is to create a steady income away from banks nowadays.
So that sounds like this chap wants to create as a rental investment.
And you don't really deal with those sort of properties.
No,
right?
I mean,
off plan.
The rental investment is sort of the rental side of things is key, of course, because as much as possible you want your costs covered on a monthly basis. But we are buying for long-term capital growth. And as such, you know, unless you were to purchase with large equity into New York or San Francisco, you're never going to get an income stream or a large income stream off that particularly.
Right. But what would be, for those away from that, what would be sort of three considerations as to place, you know, type of building? I mean, where...
Vacancy rates, very important. As on the property barometer, it's you know, Atlanta has serious, serious vacancy rates, both from just, you know, lack, I suppose, oversupply and stock that isn't taken up, but also from the point of view of... the rental markets, so that's key. You see a lot of a lot of adverts for properties in places like this. You buy a house for $50,000 and they reckon you can get $2,000 a month for it.
Yeah, I've seen those.
But realistically, you know, in markets like that, you've got 25% vacancy rates and
you've got a 50% chance of finding the house after about a year.
Exactly.
And what about off-plan market in the US, though?
In answer to his question, one of the other things is that in the US, you can only borrow up to 60%, unlike in the UK. Yeah. So that does restrict
loan-to-value rates.
So you're putting 40% of your own cash down. Most people want to see a neutral cash flow, don't they? They want to see neutral cash flow and hopefully get the upside from the capital appreciation. So that might mean going an interest-only mortgage as well. So that might be another he's asked for three different considerations.
What would you pay now for a loan in the States? Because obviously we see rates at zero, and we hear that all around the world, zero rates. But what would you actually pay as a foreigner buying at a 60% loan-to-value? What is the mortgage rate you get
in the
States?
4.2, funny enough, across the world, it's about 4.28.
Yeah, similar to London, similar to KL.
And
that's the bizarre thing.
A bit higher, though, isn't it?
It's a bit higher here, but you can get some very good fixed rates. I've been on your show quite a few years ago when we were talking about 8.5%, 9%.
Yeah, do you remember? 10, wasn't it,
10,
I think?
So it's come down. And nice two-year fixed rates, which give people confidence. And from the trailer that you're running all week long, that five-letter word of yours, trust. And
trust.
I think that's what people really need.
Well, I haven't heard that trailer. Has that been honest?
It's a brilliant trailer, my God. I just listen to it all day.
Well, if I may also add on with regards to the considerations in the US.
Can you hold it? We're going to just take another quick break, if that's okay. Lots more questions, obviously, for you. So do keep them coming as well. We'll be back after this.